Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, March 18th, 2018 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. FYI, there seemed to be a power outage at the Oakland Public Library on San Pablo this morning. In any case, I was unable to get a wireless connection and upload the latest draft of the PDF until I got to the station, so it's there now. Please check it out. Its draft number is 1012. Sisters and brothers, Prince has caused me to rethink everything, including what I heard as I was leaving the station last week, the archival show Make Them Hunger from August 30th, 2015. I'm going to be quoting from that show, including a preceding segment, for context. Last week, we heard Kropotkin tell us that we must develop a clear picture of the world we want in order to excite our brothers and sisters about it. What's stopping us? Today, we look at hidden power. We ask, what do we mean by hidden power? And why must we incorporate an understanding of it into our strategic planning to realize that developed picture of the world we want? In our Waking Up radio show of December 7, 2014, we began the chapter in anti-systemic movements titled 1968, The Great Rehearsal. Let's recall what our good three, Giovanni Arrighi, Terence K. Hopkins, and Emmanuel Wallerstein said, quote, "There have been only two world revolutions. One took place in 1848. The second in 1968. Both were historic failures. Both transformed the world. The fact that both were unplanned and therefore in a profound sense spontaneous explains both facts. The fact that they failed and the fact that they transformed the world. As our global transformation must be planned to escape the trap of trained agents, how we escape that trap by means of careful planning is what we've been focusing on in our shows that address the need for self-soul sufficiency. I'm referring, in a sense, to what we'd learned from Alice by self-soul sufficiency, and we're arguing that that's very much akin to Paul's separating to the truth. And so we're saying that we need to address the problem of trained agents by each one of us becoming soul self-sufficient, both individually and with our core selves, by which I meant our tribes, our crew. Power's hidden planning has been its chief advantage. It knows what's going on while we don't. What we'll be considering is the degree to which the fact that power hides, when not located centrally in our theory of how we transition to freedom, distorts our analysis. Now, I've been thinking about that quote since it played last week again. Because of Prince, the issue of advanced planning feels different to me. And we repeat this quote from anti-systemic movements a lot because I believe we're only just now coming to terms with it. And now I'm thinking about that embedded question. In many ways, our initial reaction strikes me as the right one, is incorporated to a degree. And I say to a degree because I don't know to what extent Paul's method consciously accounts for it, or if this is another area in which the house advanceth in Prince. Although the mammoth response of power speaks to the effectiveness of his methods, Paul's experience is a cautionary tale for us. Power's use of agents against him and sex, power's absorption of threats. It would have been a cautionary tale for us had we ever been given an accurate presentation and assessment of it and of the tactics power besotted guys use against threats across the class ages. Paul's heart was made to ache from their suffocating falseness, their dispiriting hidden machinations. Can't we hear it between the lines of this, Paul's weariness, quoting Paul, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which shrinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Quoting Hebrews 6. From which questions come, can we apply this as political guidance for us in the face of our current challenges with agents? And is he right? Can those who found their reason lose it again? And how does one become certain?